good morning, and welcome to Word of Mouth, the program where captivating people talk about their unique jobs. I'm your host, Jim Wunderlich, and today I will be chatting with Vinnie Morgan, founder and lead investigator for Windy City Paranormal, an investigative surveillance team that uses scientific methods to find answers to paranormal activity. In short, they hunt ghosts. Hey, Vinny, thanks so much for being here. It's great that you're here.
No, Jim. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Very excited about this. Hey, first of all, let's just start with the basics. What is a ghost, and how would you define it?
Well, if you go by the dictionary, a ghost is an apparition of a dead person that's believed to appear or manifest to the living, typically as a nebulous image. What it actually is, we have no clue.
Okay. Well, that's up front. Okay, let's get that out of the way.
These are
we
all
have
conjectures.
No clue.
Think of it this way.
Okay.
There are patterns to what certain entities do.
Okay.
And we throw these patterns into a category and we classify the category. Now, it's just like hunting. If you're hunting big game, small game, deer or elk, they all have certain patterns. If you're fishing, walleye, crappie, you know, there are certain patterns. You would use certain flies, certain techniques, certain areas where you would search. And this is what we do with ghost hunting. And it's probably why we got the term hunting to begin with the ghost hunting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you have certain scientific techniques. Okay. Let's cut to the chase. Let's say that I have a ghost in my house, or I think I have a ghost or some sort of paranormal activity. And I go to your website, and I'm curious, I'm interested. And so what would be the first step now? What do I do? I want to get you as a ghost hunter. I want you to come in and take a look at this paranormal activity. What occurs? What happens? What's the first thing you're going to do with
click me? The help button. That's going to direct you right to our email address.
Oh, wow. Okay, so click the help button.
Yes.
But there's something about interviewing or something.
Yes.
You come in, you would interview me to see what, that I'm credible or reliable or that I'm not some nutcase?
Pretty much. First off, we would send you out a questionnaire to do online. There's a questionnaire that we email you out. You fill it out as much as you can.
What kind of questions would be on there?
Stuff like, what kind of phenomenon? How long does it last? Hmm. You're also looking at stuff like, do you take any drugs or do you drink heavily? Are you on any medication or do you have any physical ailments? The new question that we just are
adding
today.
Again, to make
sure
that it's a logical source that's occurring here. Okay.
Right. And the new question that we're having right now that we just inputted it yesterday, actually, tell you the truth, is whether or not you have fibromyalgia. I know it seems like an odd question.
Yeah, it is an odd question. So what's the connection there?
Well, there is this researcher, and he's actually going through talking to people with psychic or medium abilities, or people who have experienced this paranormal phenomenon.
Okay.
And he's been noticing, like I have, but I didn't put it together until I heard this guy, that a lot of these people have fibromyalgia or symptoms of fibromyalgia when the paranormal occurs around them.
Okay, so we don't know chicken and egg here. Is that what we're saying? I mean, is it because...
We don't know.
Occur because of the activity?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the activity may occur because of the condition. This is what he's trying to put together.
Okay.
All right. And I've noticed with my own clients, and I thought it was just a cluster in this area of the country that a lot of people have fibromyalgia, but I've noticed like 8 clients in the last 2 years have had fibromyalgia.
Okay.
And I thought to myself going, okay, now I heard this guy on an internet radio station from a friend of mine, Jim Mollard. He's out of Meadville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Meadville Paranormal. And it was very interesting to listen to this guy talk. And he's wanting people to contact him and stuff like that. And I noticed that and I said, oh, you know what? Maybe I should put that in there. And okay. this is what I did. And just to double check. And then that way, once I can get stuff for him, I'll just send it right out to him.
Well, you're trying to come up with some sort of hypothesis, of course. So, and collecting as much data as you can before you actually go to the home and see this person.
Exactly, exactly.
Is this sort of a screening process of sorts?
It is a screening process.
Because you might get a lot of, for sake of a better word, kooks, maybe?
Whack jobs, yeah.
soft pedal it here.
You get that. But I tried to believe the client. Okay, I tried to believe the client is truly scared or curious about what's going on inside their house.
Okay.
I may not believe the phenomenon because I want to go in with an open mind, but I will believe the client's fear or apprehension or curiosity.
Okay.
Then what we do after that is we go in for what we call a preliminary interview and preliminary investigation, which we try to
do. So there's a written interview, and then you're going to go in for what, an oral interview?
It's kind of like a walkthrough. We talk to them, and they may open up and give us more information as they talk to them. Instead of writing it down, we may learn new things. We'll be able to see the layout of the house, where we might want to put our cameras.
Okay.
And plus, we'll get our hands on trying to debunk something, an occurrence that may happen.
Okay.
And debunking for us isn't saying that the client's lying. It's just that we can find natural reasons for some of the things that are going on inside their house. Like we had this one client, and she said the microwave just completely shuts off, and then the clock blinks. Well, you know, I bring out my old meter from my grandfather, who's a master electrician. I shoved it in the hole of the outlet, and you know the outlet was painted over at least 10 times.
Right.
So it wasn't getting a tight connection. I told him to replace the outlet. It's like $5 to $7 at your local Menards or something, and and just replace it and see how that works.
So a lot of times you're going in and in a sense calming people down about actually a rational concept.
It is a rational fear.
Yeah.
It's not an irrational fear. Mm-hmm. So don't anybody say, I just don't know about contacting somebody. It's rational to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's rational to us because we need to figure out what's going on. And then that way we can put your mind at ease or figure out what's going on for real and help you get rid of the problem if it is something more malicious.
Okay, let's go with that. Let's say it might be something more malicious. It's not something rational. There's some activity. Now you, set an appointment to come in again and bring out all of this cool equipment I saw on your website.
Yeah.
So that's the investigation itself, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Let's talk a little bit about that then, because I think that's really the meat of this whole thing, the actual investigation.
Yes.
Did you like the way I got scary there?
Yes, go for it.
Man, we're having too much fun here.
As long as you're not asking me if I wanted candy, I'm good with it.
Wow. This guy used to do morning radio, folks. So we've got a situation here. Anyway, so go ahead. A little bit about the investigation itself, and getting back to the equipment, which is sort of interesting if you look at the website.
Yeah, we bring in basically it's basic home or store surveillance equipment. Our cameras are a little bit stronger than what you would get at, say,
infrared type stuff.
Yeah, the infrared cameras are a little bit stronger. They don't go 35 to 25 feet. We got them going 50 to 80. Okay.
Jeez.
Because
high-end stuff.
We want that lit up like daylight. We want it lit up like daylight on the IR, on the infrared. And you're not going to see it, obviously, when you're walking through the room, but you know, it's going to be prevalent when you're watching it on the video.
Right,
you're
going
to be able to see the whole room is lit up like day.
Like a Navy SEAL.
And if there's a long hallway, we have an extra IR light that's rated for up to 200 feet. So we can add that.
200 feet,
we can add that onto there. Like we did the old Rico D's down in Willow Brook or Willow Springs area. It's the old Rico D's pizzeria.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's. It's been claimed to be haunted for years.
This is new to me.
Yeah. This is one of the places I actually heard about before I moved to Chicago, besides, you know, Resurrection Mary.
Yeah, that's the classic.
Yeah. And this is one of the ones that I heard about beforehand as well. And I always wanted to go in there, and Troy Taylor and his little band of ghost hunters wouldn't let anybody else in unless you belong to, like, Troy Taylor's little group there. But when we got a chance to go in
there. This is a pizza place.
It used to be. Now it's an Irish bar.
Okay.
Good hamburgers, by the way. And
you get the hamburger and the ghost at the same time?
Yes, it was awesome. I ordered a hamburger and I got ghost hunting at the same time.
Okay, all right, okay.
But it used to be an old brothel. It was owned by Capone's brother, Richard, and then...
What kind of ghost did you see there?
Nothing. We debunked everything.
You debunked everything.
We debunked everything that there was to debunk there. We didn't come
Let's
up with
anything. Let's define debunk. That means basically
That means basically figuring out a logical reason for mm-hmm. what's actually going on inside the residence or business.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. So let's get back to the actual investigation. You used cameras.
Mm-hmm.
What's it, an electromagnetic stuff?
Okay.
What's that all about? I didn't quite get that.
We use electromagnetic field readers. A lot of electricians use them to find wires in walls to see if there's bad wiring in a house. Mm-hmm. If electromagnetic radiation is leaking, like your equipment over there, you're for broadcasting inside your little jailhouse. We used to have something at the radio station very similar. Ours was much, much larger, of course, and because it was old.
Sure.
But it used to actually change our mood. I mean, we used to have to go in there for meter readings, and then finally, after a couple of years, you know, our DJs just said, listen, we can't handle this. We're going to have a remote thing because we can't go in there because it's ruining our show. Because you go in there, and you come out in the worst, foulest mood. You'd be
just
depressed
for a few seconds
or angry. Well, you'd be in there for like 2 minutes because you got two different radio stations that you got to take meter readings on.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you're in an enclosed booth. It's super air-conditioned in there to like, you know, below freezing and... Because otherwise it would melt the surrounding walls. Probably.
What kind of effects does this occurs from this?
The electromagnetic fields can change your mood. They can give you a rash. They mm-hmm. could give you thoughts of paranoia. And some people who are really hypersensitive, that rash and sense of paranoia, they may even see things that's not even there.
Again, finding a logical rationale by using mm-hmm. this equipment.
Yeah, we call something in a house called a fear cage. Which means there's one room that's just so surrounded and so inundated by electromagnetic fields from wiring or electrical equipment that it'll give you a sense that there is something in there when there's really nothing.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of that before. Now, you also use thermometers?
Yes, we use thermometers.
Go ahead. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, some of my team members have laser thermometers, which is good for finding leaks. So when people go, there are cold spots inside the house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Well, we can find
that would
logical,
be a ghost if it's cold. Yeah.
Well, we can find logical reasons for that as well using the thermometers.
Mm.
So say if there's a leaky window or there's a ventilation system that's not even tightened up or there's a crack in the wall or the ceiling, the laser thermometers are really good at finding those out. Now, I use a different type of thermometer than that. I use one that the same thermometer that Patilla's restaurants use to check their grease in their fryer.
Okay.
Because
it has a long range to it.
Well, no. This actually has a metal rod that sticks out the back, and it's got an ambient thermometer at the top. So I can check the room temperature, and I can check a cold spot within the center of the room
mm-hmm.
at the same time. So I can give two different readings at the same time. So somebody says there's a cold spot, and it's about 2 feet by 2 feet. I can go and stick that little metal thermometer in there, hit the button. It'll read whatever temperature is, say it's 50 degrees.
Yeah.
You hit the ambient temperature, and you can see the surrounding room is going to be 75.
And how do you explain that?
I can't. You really can't. There are theories that it is a ghost trying to manifest itself, and it's drawing energy to do that from around it. And heat is an easy energy supply for it to draw from.
But you're not really seeing anything. You're feeling something.
You're feeling something.
Okay.
I got grabbed on the leg one time, and it was our first case as Windy City Paranormal, and ice cold. Sherry, our researcher, said...
Now, where did this occur?
This was actually in Carpentersville.
Okay. In a house?
Yes, it was in a house. Not an old house. 1991. It was built in 1991.
Okay.
And she says, there's something grabbing your leg. I says, I know. I can feel it. And I put the thermometer down there. And an inch from my leg, it was 52 degrees. The ambient thermometer said it was 78.
Hmm.
And that was 3 inches away from my leg. So
you felt something grabbing your leg.
I felt a cold spot. There are three types of grabs. Okay, there are three types of touching that a ghost hunter can feel, basically. And one's cold, one's hot, and one's an actual physical touch that actually physically feels like something is grabbing you.
Okay.
And I've had all three done.
You have?
Yes, I've had all three done to me. The poking with the actual physical feel, that freaks you out more than anything.
Could it just be a draft from a window or something? Or,
it could be, but when you're looking at a situation where...
Let's be real specific about this. Okay, let's go. We're going to talk about cases later, but let's get into it now. You had where you said you actually felt something grabbing you. Where were you at the time?
Well,
you were in Carpentersville, you said.
It was the same house, two different types of grabs.
Bedroom,
there.
Living room?
Yeah, I was in the living room the first time, and it was a poke. It felt like three fingers just poked right into my side where
Did
the kidneys
hurt?
Were. No, it just felt like a lot of pressure, and like somebody was just slowly poking me like this.
And, a fun poke.
Yeah, fun poke or a cordial, preliminary
cordial.
Touch.
Okay.
Yes, I wouldn't poke anybody in the kidneys. I wouldn't say that was fun, but okay. I mean, that's where it poked me at.
Okay, so you felt this poke.
I felt this poke, and I thought it was maybe one of the house cats that were in the house. I turned around. There was nothing there. I was like, Aaron, wand me down. And he's like, I'm in the other room. I said, no, no. And he went in there and couldn't get any readings. The poke stopped by then. It was only 3 seconds long.
Okay.
You know, and it slowly pushed in, slowly pulled out. And I said right then and there, because I was about to blow the lady off. And I said, no, you know what? I'm going to do this one. And then when our first investigation happened, I was standing in the child's bedroom. And that's when my leg got grabbed, my calf.
Grabbed?
It felt like
a hand?
It felt like a hand. I felt 3 fingers and a thumb. Grab my calf.
Were you standing next to a bed, or were you?
I was standing next to a bed. Yes.
So it's not possible. By the way, I'm just going with a rationale here. It's not possible.
But my right leg was by the bed. My left leg was by the bed. My right leg was.
Someone wasn't under the bed or anything like that. There was no one in the room.
No, I was by the head of the bed.
The head of the bed. Okay.
Yeah.
And you just felt this grabbing there.
I felt this three ice cold fingers and a thumb grab me. Or on the calf. And I thought to myself, going, oh, wow. And I'm sitting there going, and I didn't say anything. And Sherry says, I'm seeing something grab your leg. And I says, I know, I feel it. Because she can see stuff. She's a little bit on the sensitive side. We call her ghost bait.
So this is an assistant you have then?
No, this is an assistant. This is my researcher, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a lead. She's also a lead investigator. And she's really good at what she does. She's the best researcher I think I've ever seen in my entire life, even for newspapers, magazines, television. If somebody took time to write something down, she'll find it.
By researcher, then, is she writing down all this information on a piece of paper to get the details? Like,
well, she does the research on the house, the situation. She calls USGS, US Geological Society, and she even finds out what's in the ground up to 300-400 feet sometimes.
Holy moly.
Yeah, she's very, very intense, and like I said, one of the best researchers out there. Not the best.
When this happened, I want to go back to the grabbing.
Okay.
Were you frightened at all?
No, I don't think I was. I was kind of giddy, tell you the truth.
For a ghost hunter, this is like gold,
well,
I guess.
This is our first
case
out.
You're a prospector,
out.
And you struck it. Yeah,
is our first case out as Windy City Paranormal, and, and boom, it was like, wow.
How exciting. How exciting. So I guess there's different types of hauntings. You've kind of talked a little bit about that.
You can break those down into two categories, and then there are subcategories.
Let's talk the talk. Let's talk the ghost talk here.
All right. Yeah. The two categories are residual and intelligent hauntings.
Residual and intelligent. Help me here.
Okay. The intelligent haunting is exactly how it sounds. There's an intelligent being on the other side trying to make contact or trying to avoid you. And trying to tell you to get away or trying to show you that it doesn't want to be bothered. Either or it's wanting to communicate. Either or.
Usually I have the concept that a ghost is trying to bother me, but actually we could be bothering them.
A lot of the times we probably are.
Wow. I'll remember that next time.
We're probably bothering their time of space. Of relation, you know, their relation of time. We're probably, when we move our furniture around, I don't know, that might be a split second to them. When we're remodeling a house, that might be a day for them. It may take us 3 months. It may be a day for them.
Wow.
You know, we don't know what they're thinking. We don't know how their time moves for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's intelligent. Now you've got
the residual.
Residual. Okay.
Residual is like, I describe it as an echo of the past. It's a visual or audible loop. Well, we were talking about carts earlier for radio. We used to work on these carts. They were called carts. They were on 8-track. They looked like 8-track tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And they continuous loop.
Right.
And they would play unless you set them not to stop. And they would keep on playing and keep on playing. Well, this is the same thing. Residual haunting does the same thing. It's either triggered by something or it plays on a loop at a certain time of day. And then it keeps on going in for a long, long time until the energy that is actually fueling it is used up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't see dinosaurs or residuals of dinosaurs walking down the street or anything like that, or hearing roars in the middle of the night for no reason, you know, because that energy is gone. That energy has been used up. So
the residual, then.
I can give you an example.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay. Example is, you've heard of the Estes Park, Colorado, the Stanley Hotel.
Been there with my wife, yes.
Stephen King wrote The Shining.
Right. It actually went on that floor to see
Fourth floor?
Red Room. Red Room.
Oh, okay.
Red Room, yeah, yeah.
The fourth floor used to be the servants' quarters.
Okay.
At one time. And every day around 3:30 to 4:30, people would hear two children laughing, giggling, and bouncing a ball. And as soon as you stick your head into the hallway to see what's going on, boom, it stops. Because the energy flow has been been interrupted. Mm-hmm. That's a good definition of a residual haunting. It's not really there. Those children are not still there playing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the makeup of the ground underneath that hotel works as a battery, and it's drawing energy out. And it's actually moving in there and drawing that energy up and replaying those children who would probably play at the same time of day over and over and over again, bouncing that ball and giggling and laughing. Now, there are other types of residual hauntings that involve visual things. They could be as solid as me and you, which you might not even know that you're seeing as being real, or they could be as translucent as a pane of glass, you know, a dirty pane of glass.
Man, I tell you, I'm getting spooked. I'm seeing those two little girls, too. The Shining, you know, once you've seen that movie, it just kind of it stays with you.
I was bored. I fell asleep.
Well, you're a ghost hunter, right?
And that was before that. I was a little kid. I was like,
what? Huh? Wow. So. Well, I tell you, if you just joined us, we're talking to Vinnie Morgan, a ghost hunter. And there's more coming up. We're going to talk about more interesting cases that he's come across. And, oh, geez, lots more. Please don't go away. Who are you going to call? Vinnie Morgan, of course. Who else? We're talking to Vinnie Morgan. That, of course, is Ghostbusters. And Vinnie Morgan is a Ghostbuster, ghost hunter. He works for and actually was the founder of Windy City Paranormal. Gosh, I love that song.
I do, too. And you know, it's really interesting. One of my favorite artists actually wrote the music to that song.
You are kidding me.
Huey Lewis and the News, one of my favorite. Well, actually, they are my favorite band. They, of all times, they're my favorite band.
From Cleveland, Ohio, right?
No, they're from the Bay Area.
Like I said, the Bay Area. Okay.
Yeah, and he actually was contracted to write the title song to Ghostbusters. They didn't like it, and then they took the music, and he wrote, I Want a New Drug.
I Want a New Drug.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And then the producers of the soundtrack stole his music, stole the tune, and had Ray Parker rewrite it.
That's the story of Ghostbusters.
And
the
theme, years, yeah. Oh, in years he was fighting it, and he just won last 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago he actually finally won a case. So he gets residuals for the tune.
Well, he should.
Off of it. Yeah.
If you're the songwriter, you should.
Yeah, because if you hear the
Huey Lewis. And also, it's so Huey Lewis. All his songs have that kind of upbeat melody, that up-tempo, fun type of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and because he likes the bebop of the 50s and 60s music and the R&B.
Yeah.
You know, and he throws that into his new stuff. And the third movie's set for production down, too.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's going to be a reboot. I just read it online. Somebody was interviewing Dan Aykroyd up in Canada. It was a Canadian article, because he is a Canadian. And they were talking about casting for the movie, whether everybody's coming back. They said Bill Murray has scheduling conflicts.
Harold Ramis, too, then? Or?
Harold Ramis is back. He's writing it,
too. Wrote the first one, didn't he?
He wrote the first
and directed
one.
It. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did all that. Everybody's coming back, but as far as they know, they can't find Rick Moranis. He dropped off the grid. No one knows where he's at.
What happened to him?
He said they've contacted his family. They can't find him.
Yeah.
So hopefully they find him by now.
He's shrinking.
So...
Bad, there you bad go. Line. Yeah. Inside.
No, I like corn. Yeah.
Came to the right place, Manny.
There you go. Bill Murray won't be there. So far, they can't find Rick Moranis, but everybody else is scheduled to be in it. It's going to be like a total reboot, so they're going to pass it off to a new generation.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
that'll
it's going to be awesome, yeah.
Well, getting back to the Ghostbusters, ghost hunting, and we're talking to Vinnie Morgan. Good ghost and bad ghost. Generally, you think of ghosts as being bad because the way the movies portray them is spooky, scary, frightening. But there's also good ghosts, too, right? Can they be divided in those two big categories like I'm doing it?
Yeah, they can.
Other than the intelligent residual?
Yeah, they can. That would be subcategories of the intelligent hauntings.
Okay.
You would be looking at human, inhuman, and demonic spirits,
mm-hmm.
Or angels, of course. those would be the categories that you would look at. Now, human spirits can be evil, or they can be regular. Whatever you were in life is probably what you're going to be in death. If you don't want to pass over and you want to stick around and you are an SOB, that's what's going to happen. That's, you're going to be like that in death, too.
Is that the theory with ghost hunters?
That's the theory with most, yeah. I would say that's a theory with most. You know, you're not going to have an epiphany. Maybe you will. Maybe that's great. Maybe you will have an epiphany, and you'll go through trying to right the wrongs that you did in life and help people out. Hopefully it works like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes they don't.
Okay.
All right. And then there are good ghosts. Most of them are, you know, temporary relatives that have died. And
I was
going to
say family members. Talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I think most of us want to believe, and particularly with a family member who's passed on, to revisit and come back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be more of a good ghost or a positive ghost, a very warm experience, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah.
Do you get those kinds of sightings?
And I also get those kinds of stories just from people who, when they find out what I do for a hobby, and this is a hobby, you know, they would tell me stories like that all the time. Like their lights would flicker on and off, or they'd see their relative sitting on the edge of the bed mm-hmm. and talking, but they can't hear what they're saying, or, you know, this is them trying to communicate. And I tell the people, listen, here's what you do. Communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them. Let them know that you're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay with it. You're going to be fine. You know, you're wishing them the best on the other side, and tell them not to worry about you. Everything's going to work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it usually stops after that. It usually stops after that.
So it's the relative or family member who's passed on, who's trying to, in a way, come to some sort of resolution in this other outer world, nether world that you're talking about?
Trying to pass on information, or maybe they're just trying to say, hey, listen, I just want to make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure you're fine. You know, and then, you know, hopefully when you talk to them, that stuff will go away.
And maybe you don't want to go away, too. You want them to hang out.
It would be nice. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if you had somebody loving to watch over you, but you need them to pass on.
Mm-hmm.
You need them to pass on. Otherwise, you get what is termed as ghost senility.
They
stick around too long, and you may lose all sense of humanity of yourself. So you definitely want them to move on. They can always come back and visit you. They may not be able to manifest themselves. We don't know. That's stuff that we have no clue about.
Mm-hmm.
These are all theories and conjectures, of course. I mean, unless God comes down from the sky and goes, this is how it is, boom, mm-hmm. and sends it to us, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, let's get back to the, we're talking about good ghosts, bad ghosts, or scary ghosts. Dangers in ghost hunting. Has that ever occurred with you when you've had, in Carpentersville, you had the hand grabbing you leg.
That was an okay experience.
You got
no,
kind of,
well, that was not.
Well, I thought you said you got kind of giddy.
I got kind of giddy. I got excited, but okay. I'm a nerd.
The average person, that would have been a scary experience.
That would probably been a scary experience for most people. But it was a kind of a violent entity. It would pull the child to the ground and throw him around. And, you know, it would mess up stuff.
You didn't say that part of the story.
No, it would mess up stuff within the house. And and then when they moved out, her daughter moved in, and it would attack her daughter. And, you know, and it would growl audibly. We would audibly hear it growl at us. And you can hear that on our website. If you go to our evidence page, click on that Carpentersville growl, you mm-hmm. can hear it, you know.
Now, there's some skeptics who are going to say that you manufactured that sound.
They
perhaps.
Can say that. They can go right ahead and say that. That's mm-hmm. fine with me.
How do you respond to the skeptics?
Well, you can just tell them what your experiences are. I liken it to arguing with a two-year-old or a communist. rhyme, reason, and rationality just does not apply.
Mm. Okay. All right.
It just doesn't work. You can talk to your blue in the face, and they won't believe you, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I've had skeptics come with me on investigations.
Okay, talk about that. And what's happened?
Well, a coworker of mine, her husband was a skeptic, really super nice guy. He actually runs NBC.com. He came in, and we were doing an investigation in Carpentersville. This is known as Melrose Park.
Okay.
And
house.
Yep. And it was an empty house at this point because everybody moved out. And the first time we went in there, 8 hours straight of absolutely nothing. We did the evidence review. We found absolutely nothing. So I bring him along for the second investigation. He buys all this equipment online And he goes, I'm going to test this out. Now, this kid's got like
thermometers, electromagnets.
Yeah, he's got like 5 degrees. I mean, this guy's like super intelligent. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's just a skeptic. He doesn't believe in an afterlife, blah, blah, blah. And so he goes in there. I says, well, you know, don't expect anything on the drive over, and you know, because it was dead. But you're more than welcome to see how we do things. And, you know, if you have any suggestions on how we can do it more proficiently and more scientifically, let us know.
Okay.
And so I start unloading equipment, and, you know, my team grabs the first round of stuff out of my van. And then I notice they're not coming back. And I'm like, I'm still unloading. And I'm like, where is everybody? I walk inside, and now that I think about it, it's actually kind of funny. But everybody's all over the first floor of the house. They got every type of handheld equipment that you could actually possibly think of. I mean, two different types of tri-field meters, 3 different types of EMF machines, 3 different types of thermometers, and they're going through the house, and all the equipment's beeping and going off and flipping out, and I'm like going, what in the heck is going on in here? And I look at Ed, and he goes, I can't explain this.
And I'm saying, this is going, your skeptic.
Yeah, this is my skeptic. He goes, I can't explain this. This is so weird. And all throughout the night. And later on, I find out from his wife. I worked with her a month later. And I found it from his wife. She goes, did Ed tell you what happened in the bathroom? It was freaky. And I was like, no, he didn't. I was like a 45-minute car ride home, and he didn't tell me nothing. Apparently, he was taking a leak. He was the last one out of the house, last one out of the house. And, you know, this is an old 50-style light switch. You really have to pull that sucker down.
Okay.
He said he's like taking a leak. All of a sudden, clunk, the lights go out. So he turns on his flashlight. He looks on the wall. The switch is down. Clunked it back up into position. So
he didn't see anything.
But the light switch moved on its own.
The light switch moved.
And if you go on our website, our evidence page has a video of our camera moving on its own. And not only did it move on its own, it locked itself in position after it moved. So that's interesting.
Would this be considered one of the dangers of...
No, not at all.
Yeah, how do you classify? You had indicated there's some dangers in ghost hunting.
There are.
It just sounds like it's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun. There's 99% of it is for the dangers is all corporeal. I mean, it's just regular everyday stuff. I mean, you're looking at clients. You have to make sure that they're stable enough mentally to have going to your house. You want to never leave yourself alone with a client. You always want to have another team member with you just in case they claim sexual harassment. There were scams as well. There was a team in the early 90s out in California. You know, they unloaded all their equipment. The owner said, before they even set it up, said, can I go outside and talk to you? And they go outside, and he closed the door on them and left them there. He said, if you come in, you know, I'll shoot you.
What?
So he's thinking that they were just going to leave the equipment and go
home. The dangers aren't with ghosts. The dangers are with clients.
A lot of the dangers are with corporeal stuff. I wouldn't say all the dangers are with clients.
Okay.
I mean, the clients are, every now and then you'll run into somebody who you might not want to
investigate
right, with. Right. Yeah. Or for. I mean, then you got your bugs and your vermin and stuff. So you lock up all your equipment cases and stuff. You bring it back to the car.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not bringing anything in, you don't want to bring anything home. And a lot of teams have brought stuff home. You know, we're talking like roaches, mice, fleas, ticks, you name it. It's probably crawled into a case and been brought home by some team or another somewhere along the line.
Okay. Okay.
You know, then we'd have them do this liability waivers. So just in case any of our team members get injured or their property, you know, we can't sue them. They can't sue us. I mean, there's weather. If it's too bad, we don't go through that. We stay home. We cancel it. You know, we had one case recently. I turned the guy down. He was really mad at me.
Okay.
But I said, sir, I just can't do this. You claim you have black mold in your house. I'm not bringing my equipment and my team members in there to risk our health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that equipment comes home with me. I got a little baby at home. I don't want any black mold inside my house.
Sure.
You know, so I canceled the investigation. He was really upset, but there's nothing I can do. You know, and then there's some of the equipment that we use. I mean, some teams use ultraviolet light. That's no good for you either. You can get skin cancer if exposed for too long. You can get cataracts because especially you're in the dark. You don't see the UV light. Your pupils are dilated.
Yeah, you guys do everything with lights out, don't you? Or that's one of the strategies.
One of the strategies, I actually go half and half, believe it or not. I run blue light.
What's that mean?
I run blue light for half the night.
Okay. Okay.
And this is something that some Florida teams have been using and getting some success. I've talked to a lot of teams in Florida, Georgia, and where was the other one? Texas, Alabama. And they told me that they run blue lights, and they've been increasing their EVPs and even their videos.
Okay.
You know, and with the blue light, you don't even need infrared. You can just run a regular video camera.
But yet it still creates the atmosphere for a ghost to occur, since it's not broad daylight? Is that what I'm getting from?
They're still working out the reasons of why they think that they might like the blue light. It may be softer for them, maybe easier for them to move around in. Maybe they're able to absorb it better for more energy. They don't know. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. It's just that they've been getting more stuff, you know. And you don't want to worry about, you know, the UV lights. And I think that is the way of the future with full spectrum lights, because mm-hmm. there is some UV in that as well, you know. And we have full spectrum cameras now that are coming out, and where you can see everything from infrared all the way to UV.
Wow.
Yeah. And that'll give you a better chance of picking up something visually, especially, you know, some entities you'll be able to see with your naked eye. Your flashlight might not even penetrate the cloud
Let's talk about that.
But the IR might cut right through it.
You just used the word cloud.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about actual things. You had something grab you. We heard that case. What about, have you had cases where you actually saw the apparition itself?
Okay, once again, Carpentersville.
Same house.
Same house.
This is where the ghost grabbed you.
Yes, it was a dark mass. Our lights would not penetrate it. We can shine our flashlights right into it. 15 feet away, they couldn't see it on the other side.
A dark mass. How big was this mass?
Sometimes it was as big as 3 feet high. Sometimes it was the whole hallway was completely blacked out. It was like a grayish-brown cloud.
Wasn't it kind of blacked out already with the blue light and stuff?
Yeah, but it's still going to be a little vague. But we were able to see each other's flashlights. We were able to see the screen from the handheld video camera.
But not through this mass.
Okay. And we're like, did you turn off the camera, Aaron? He goes, no, why? He goes, did you turn off your flashlights? So he said, no, they're on. They're facing right at you.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing. It wouldn't. And we're only like 15, 20 feet away.
That had to be pretty scary.
That was kind of weird. I wasn't scared by it, but it was perplexing, puzzling, especially when it would slink down to the carpet and you would see it be able to move along the carpet and go into one room and another. So I was chasing this thing from room to room to room all night long, you know.
I guess, would that be your most unusual case, do you think, a black mass?
No, that's not my most unusual
All right, have you
case.
Ever had Casper? I mean, I'm talking about what we see in the movies, that kind of white apparition.
No, but I did see a full body apparition.
A full body apparition?
Yes.
Where was this?
This was actually, I was invited to go on somebody else's case. I can't say where. They're not going to allow me to do that because
is it in the Midwest?
Yes, it is in the Midwest.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's in the Midwest.
Oh
okay.
Yeah. But we were in somebody's office, and
this is a business.
This is a business. It was in the basement of the business.
Can I ask what kind of business it was? Because that may
chiropractor.
Okay.
It used to be an art supply store or something like that. I think I'm not quite sure.
So that's the history. It was an art supply store, possibly now chiropractor.
I didn't get into it too much with the other group, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay.
So they were doing some experiments, and I wanted to go along to see. And they, you know, when they invited me, I said, sure, I'd love to. And I get there. I was the last one out of that room, so I know that there was nobody in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so halfway through the experiment, I see a woman's head poke around the corner. Beautiful woman, solid as you and me. Beautiful skin, kind of a pointy nose, a slightly upturned, dark hair. I don't know whether it was pulled back or it was just short. She had on an antique lace dress, kind of off-white, almost to a light brown or tan. She just poked her head around the corner. I got half a shoulder in her head. She looked around, and then she pulled it back again. I wanted to jump up immediately, run into that room while, you know, one of the team leaders was sitting next to me, and he went, no, just stay where you're at. I'm sitting there going, dude, I want to run in there and check it out. He was like, no, you'll break the chain. Just stay in here where you're at. Says that's okay. So that's what I did. But we heard a cane pounding.
So it wasn't an actual person. This was an entity or apparition that really indeed looked like a person.
Yes, it manifested itself to full solid. And I couldn't see from the shoulder down, of course, because it was peeking around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Just like somebody would peek around the corner to see what's going on. But I seen it, and it was the most amazing thing I think I've ever seen.
Boo. I tell you, captivating. We're talking to Vinnie Morgan, if you just joined us. He is the ghost hunter and the founder of Windy City Paranormal. Much more ahead. Stay tuned. Ghost Riders in the Sky, that's Johnny Cash. That's actually a remake. That song goes back to the 1940s, believe it or not, Vinny.
Really?
Yeah, that was a Vaughn Monroe hit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Something I didn't know. That's something I didn't know. You're schooling me.
You know, we're talking to Vinny Morgan, ghost hunter and founder and chief investigator for Windy City Paranormal. This has just been a wonderful hour. I have to ask a couple questions, and one of them is this. Ouija boards. Used to play it as a kid and got a little spooked when I was a kid. I was probably about 11 or 12, and what do you think of them as a ghost hunter? I mean, they're as close as I guess we can come to, without being a ghost hunter, in your own family room to getting a Ouija board out and, you know, kind of playing with kind of ghosty stuff. What do you think of them overall?
I say don't do it. I liken it to old fireworks. Yeah, they might work well, and you might get a kick out of it, or you might blow off a finger. I really do. This is what I believe. And now a lot of ghost hunters don't believe that. They think that they're completely innocuous. They don't do anything. They're just for entertainment. You can never get hurt by it. But I've heard too many stories of people who have played with these things, and slowly but surely, whatever entity they were talking to would get stronger and stronger through the years, and would eventually just cause havoc in their life. Hmm. And I say just don't do it. Just don't do it. It's like playing with old fireworks. Just don't do it.
Okay. I just wonder what where you were at as a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
You know, we never really talked about your story. Let's back up a bit. How did you get into this whole ghost hunting thing? What intrigued you? What triggered your interest? How did this all come about?
Well, it started about, I was moping around the house one night. It was a Wednesday night, and watching Ghost Hunters with my wife. And she goes, Vinny, you need a hobby. I says, well, I can teach you how to play golf. And she goes, I know, puppy. I don't want to play golf. So I was like, okay, well, I was watching Ghost Hunters. I go, well, heck, I can do that. So she popped up out of bed. I didn't know what she was doing. She
went, so how old were you at the time?
I was, gosh, this was probably 19. This is 2007.
Pretty recent, so, really.
Yeah, well, this is how I got into it. And I have always been interested in it, but this is how
you've been interested in it since you were a kid about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. But she went over on the TAPS website. She went through their forum. She went through the opportunities area, found a team that was starting up in DuPage Paranormal Society. And I joined them, and then I broke off from them, started my own team, and it's history from there. But how I got into it is I've always been interested in cryptozoology and UFOs.
Cryptozoology.
Yes.
I know what a crypt is. I think I know what zoology is. The two together, have no idea.
Crypto is a short form for cryptic. It's legend, lore, you know, stuff like that. You know, we're talking about Bigfoot. We're talking about the Loch Ness Monster. We're talking about all kinds of things like that. Mm-hmm. The Arctothuthis, which we just lashed.
The what?
Arctothuthis, the giant squid. A species of giant squid just
that's finally the Loch Ness, isn't it?
No.
Some, okay,
no, they
I'm
know
lost.
What the Loch Ness is. They don't say anything about it. They know what it is.
They know what the Loch Ness is.
Oh, yeah. It's a giant eel. Comes from the seal. It comes in the spawn and then goes back out again.
Okay.
But they would kill tourism. It would just absolutely kill tourism if they would let that out. But they know what it is. That's what has been, you know. But it's, you know, I remember sitting on my grandmother's couch. I was like 6, 7 years old. I was watching In Search Of.
Back to cryptozoology, though.
Yeah.
What is that exactly again?
Well, that's like zoologists go out and try to find new species of animals, right? Well, cryptozoologists use the legend of those animals and try to go out and find out. Ever see the TV show Destination Truth?
Yes.
Okay. That's basically what they do.
Okay.
They're
okay.
Cryptozoologists. They find a legend or lore. Or some type of strange video, and then they go out and they try to find this thing, you know. And if you watch River Monsters, that's another great show where the guy goes out and he hears these stories about these giant fish in rivers all over the world, and he goes out and tries to fish them and find them. And he does sometimes, and sometimes he doesn't. But this is basically what they do. I mean, people have been looking for Bigfoot for hundreds of years. And you know, there's, like I said, the Loch Ness Monster.
That snowman. You got the snowman.
You get this. As long as he's not wearing
his abdominal, isn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he's abdominal.
He's ripped.
He's not only got a 6-pack, he's got a 12-pack. You know, the old ones have kegs.
There we go. This is how we started.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so then you also said you got interested in UFOs as well, too.
Yeah, watching In Search of, you see all those programs on there, UFOs. They go to, you know, try to figure out some type of connection, and there are ancient paintings from Michelangelo and all the way back to the Renaissance period with UFOs painted on in the skies and, you know, and cave drawings and stuff. I just find that completely fascinating, and although I don't go out and hunt UFOs, but I just find all that information fascinating. I love watching all those shows and everything like that.
Is this financial rewarding at all, being a ghost hunter?
No, it's free.
Okay.
Now, some teams may
charge. It's free.
Yeah, some teams may charge.
Okay.
And that's fine by them if they decide to do that, but there are plenty of good teams out there who do not charge, who will not charge. Some teams charge for gas. That I could really understand.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it's over $4 a gallon where I'm at. So.
No, I mean, the fact that you're going to take... how long does it take to come out and do an investigation from start to finish from the... We talked about the pre-interview, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's hours and hours.
It's hours and hours and hours.
Of your time.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, this is beyond a hobby, I think.
It is a very intense hobby. I would imagine raising horses would be a little bit more intense than, I mean, that's hours and hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an everyday thing. This is when you get a case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can work on paranormal stuff for my team for 10 hours a week when we don't have any cases. Mm-hmm. You know, this is tweaking the website. This is reading up on the paranormal to see if new theories, listening to internet radio shows and people who have different cases or mm-hmm. ideas for cases and stuff. That's how I found out about the fibromyalgia thing. So, I mean, it's really great to get the information, to plug it in, to throw it in there with your information and to see what happens.
I want to squeeze in one last question, mm-hmm. and you might have already covered this. Your most unusual case, was that the leg pulling, or do you have others? The black mass?
No.
Okay, so the bread and butter. This is the bread and butter. What's your most unusual case?
It was a Cinerama shop in North Aurora, and whatever was in there was materializing things all over the shop, moving things around that it shouldn't be able to move. Human entities usually shouldn't be able to move anything over 20 pounds. This thing was moving 85-pound reams of magnetic paper that you would, you know, for the magnetic signs on the side of the car. It was moving around reams of 85-pound reams of that around the shop in a blink of an eye. I mean, just, it was amazing.
You witnessed this.
I didn't witness this. They did.
The people there witnessed it.
I witnessed, like, smaller objects materializing.
Materializing?
Just out of thin air, just dropping out of the ceiling.
In other words, I'm sitting in my family room, and all of a sudden a pencil would just move up and down. Something like that? Is that what you mean?
No, that's moving. That's just moving. No, these things just appear out of nowhere.
The pencil actually just pops up in front of you, and then it disappears.
That's materializing.
Jeez.
Yeah, and things disappearing, dematerializing. This thing even had control of the printer systems. So it would answer us our questions back over the printer with stuff from the internet, and it would add its own words down to the bottom of the picture.
We just need more time here, Vinny. We're just getting started, for God's sake.
I know, you would need like 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe you can come back.
I would love to come back.
I tell you, just fascinating. Again, Vinny Morgan, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity.
Lots of fun today. And,
hey, can I say hi to my team?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Ed and Greg and Sherry and Tiffany and Donna and Aaron. Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You guys are the best.
Oh, absolutely. And you're the best, too. For more information about ghost hunting, go to the website, WindyCityParanormal.com. Thank you for tuning in. I hope to drop by again next Thursday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. when we talk to another captivating guest on Word of Mouth.